located at 214 North Palm Avenue, provides you with the chance to stay cool but still active with its indoor basketball courts. Break the good kind of sweat here. For cooling center hours, check in with a location you plan to visit ahead of time. Stay cool during the heat waves, Rialto.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem Scott.
Present.
Councilmember Montoya Jr.
Present.
Councilmember Carla Perez.
Present.
Councilmember Andy Caracelis.
Present.
City Treasurer Ed Correa.
Present.
City Attorney Eric Vell.
Present.
City Manager Tanya Williams.
Present.
Thank you all present and counted. If you could all please stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance, it will be led by Mayor Pro Tem Ed Scott.
Please join me in the pledge to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you could remain standing at this time, we'll do the invocation that will be led by Pastor Mario Condero from the Calvary Chapel of Rialto.
Let's take a moment and pray. Lord, we want to thank you this evening that we can gather. Lord, I just want to lift up the city council, the mayor, Lord, the council members, and the staff. Out of gratitude, Lord, for them, you have chosen for them to fulfill these roles, Lord God. I pray that you would grant them wisdom, Lord God, that you would use them mightily in this city, and Lord, that they would decisions that they would make in this city would really take into account, Lord, every person that lives within the city, Lord God. I lift them up to you. I ask your blessings upon them and their families, their marriages, their children, Lord God. I just pray, Father, that as they seek you, that you would grant them this wisdom, Lord God. Your scripture clearly says if any man lacks wisdom, that they could ask you. So Lord, you being creator and creator of all things, you have created these men, these women for a time such as this. I just pray for them, Lord, and ask that you use them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated now. At this time, we'll call on the city attorney's report on closed session.
Thank you, Mayor. We had three items on your closed session this evening. The first was a conference with legal counsel with regard to two items of litigation. Counsel gave direction to the city attorney's office on those. There was no other reportable action. Your second item was a conference with your labor negotiators. You had a briefing from your labor negotiators, gave direction, no other reportable action. And then finally, there was a conference with your real property negotiator with regard to the property described in the agenda, and you gave direction to your property negotiators. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. At this time, then, we'll move on to presentations and proclamations. Presentations by the West Valley Water District. It'll be done by Linda Jondisky.
Good evening, Mayor Baca and council members. Linda Jondisky, Assistant General Manager at West Valley Water District. I wanted to thank you all for letting me present today the value of water. You may have on the dais our newsletter. I'll be going over some of the information in that as part of the presentation. So a little bit about West Valley.
Linda, before you do, can you please introduce two of your board members that are present too as well?
I certainly can. Today we have with us our two of our board members. We have Calvin Moore. Calvin, could you stand up, please?
Sure.
And we also have Dan Jenkins.
Thank you. Welcome.
So a little bit about West Valley. So West Valley is a public water utility. We're a special district formed under the California Water Code, and that our existence started in 1952. We're a community water system. There are no stocks, no profits. The ratepayers own the system. And we're a proactive community partner. If you go out any event on the weekends here, you'll see our public outreach and government affairs department at all of the events. So last year, our board embarked on a updated strategic plan. And the mission of West Valley Water District is to provide the community with high quality and reliable water service in a cost-effective and sustainable manner. We are governed by a board of five members, all of which are customers of the district. There are five divisions. We have President Greg Young, Dan Jenkins, who's here with us tonight, Angela Garcia, Calvin Moore, who's also with us tonight, and Esteban Bennett. These are the representatives. These are the voice of the people. If you go onto our website, there is a link if you want any additional information on our board members. The service area that we serve, we have a north and a south system, which is separated in the middle by the city of Rialto. We provide service to Rialto, Fontana, Bloomington, Colton, unincorporated portions of San Bernardino County, and Jurupa Valley down in Riverside County. The district has 26 storage reservoirs with over 72 million gallons of water. We serve those six communities, over 100,000 customers, 32 square miles of service area, 88 water professionals, 23 groundwater wells, 7 treatment sites, including the Romer, which treats our surface water, over 400 miles of pipelines, and over 3,800 fire hydrants, which help to protect during the events that we may have a house fire, forest fire. But where does that water come from? Well, our water that we serve to our customers comes from two different sources, either groundwater, which makes up 60%, or surface water. The groundwater comes from district wells and also from regional wells through the baseline feeder. Surface water is approximately 40%, and that water comes from Lytle Creek and also comes from Northern California through the State Water Project. And that water is treated at the Oliver P. Romer Water Filtration Facility on Riverside Avenue. So water use, you may say, well, of course, water. Water is used for drinking, cooking, bathing, cleaning, but it's also used for fire flow and fire protection, industrial purposes, irrigation. We serve customers who are residential, commercial, industrial, schools, churches, parks, public facilities. Water is life. With that, there are rising costs of delivering water to our customers. As a public utility, we only charge what the actual cost to deliver the water service and to maintain the long-term reliable, sustainable supply of that system. So that includes aging infrastructure that we are looking at upgrading and repairing, emergency preparedness, whether that's emergency generators or additional fire hydrants. Inflation is a cost that we all see, especially in the last 5 years. And then electricity. If you have seen an increase in your electricity bill, the district has also seen an increase in electricity. Approximately 11% of the bill to our customers is the cost for electricity. So we're investing in the shared water future for our community, for our customers. We have a complex system of systems, ongoing investments for a cost-effective, long-term, reliable, sustainable water supply for today and future generations. So we invest in upgrades and replacements to extend the useful life of those facilities, to provide efficient operations and maintenance. We want to avoid emergencies. We want to be proactive and plan for those ahead of time. We want to enhance resilience to fires, droughts, earthquakes, all of which are potential things that can happen in the future, but we have to plan for those. We want to safeguard the water supply and the quality of life here to our customers. Our capital improvement program, for that we do long-term planning. We also do that as engineering plans, and we do that as financial planning. For our 10-year projections, the system needs ongoing investments. In the last 10 years, we've invested over $100 million into our systems, and we plan to do another $100 million over the next 10 years. Some of those projects that we're investing in are the Lord Ranch Facilities Project, just south of the 210 freeway, east of Pepper Avenue. We're constructing a booster station, reservoir, and an emergency generator set there. And the benefits of that project were to increase system reliability and efficiency and to increase fire flow capabilities. This construction is going to be starting within the next couple of months, so you'll be seeing some activity out there. Another project that we're working on is the Bloomington Waterline Replacement Project, Phase 3C. We have a 5-phase program. This is the fourth of that. We have one more to go after this. But what that is going to do is upsize water lines in the community of Bloomington, include new fire hydrants, new water services, new meters. It's going to have increased fire flow, which are the benefits, and accessibility, efficient operations, and enhanced customer knowledge. And this project, we were very pleased to participate and partner with Supervisor Baca. He has provided $1.5 million to this project, to this $3.8 million project. This project is actually, we're going to have a groundbreaking this Saturday. The biggest project that the district has ever undertaken is the Oliver P. Romer Water Filtration Facility Upgrade and Expansion Project. It's a $64 million project. The project benefits are it will add 7.2 million gallons per day of capacity to enable us to treat state project water when available. It will increase our surface water production and reduces our need for groundwater pumping. It will be a conjunctive use project where when state project water is available, we can use that supply and relax our groundwater wells and let the water levels in the basins recover, or we can use groundwater wells and use that source of supply. It's a long-term, sustainable, cost-effective water resource reliability that we're putting into our capital improvement projects. We plan to have that completed by early 2026. And I would invite, I'd like to invite actually the council, you know, at some point, have you come up and take a tour of the treatment plant. We'd be very happy to host you. Fire resiliency projects. We've been overdoing some new fire hydrants in the city of Fontana. We were partnering with Supervisor Armendariz for this one. So the project is to provide community safety, fire protection, increase fire flow volumes and reliability. Also for fire resiliency, we're looking into additional generators. We currently have mobile generators that we deploy to sites when needed. We do have some sites that have fixed generators, but we're always looking to bolster our system. We're looking to construct two more, and we're looking to get funding for future ones. So for community safety, sustains water supply, fire flows during power outages. When your power goes out, our power goes out. We want to make sure the water keeps flowing. Looking ahead, to complete the long-term financial plan and complete a cost-of-service water rate study. The Board of Directors will be holding workshops and board meetings to evaluate the needs, costs, and benefits to consider a rate adjustment. West Valley Water District has not raised their rates in over 10 years, so this is something that we're evaluating. And this will give the opportunity for the public to provide input, and our board will eventually make a decision, and at that point, staff will implement the board-approved actions. At this time, I'd like to answer any questions, if you have any.
Are there any questions by any individuals? But we do appreciate you coming and informing us, and we look forward to maybe some of us being able to take that tour through the facilities too as well, and those individuals that can attend the ribbon cutting that's coming up this Saturday.
The Romer Treatment Plant was actually a joint project between the City of Rialto and West Valley Water District. We treat on behalf of the city 1.5 million gallons per day of water and deliver it to the city. So we'd be very happy to have you.
Thank you very much, Linda.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we'll move on to oral communications. Before we call on anybody that has signed up for oral communications, I'd just like to announce that Supervisor Joe Baca Jr. just informed me that the San Bernardino County Board approved $203,000 in upgrades for the Carl Johnson Center Gymnasium to enhance recreational opportunities for local families. So I just want to thank him for that generous support and the supervisors from San Bernardino County. With that, we'll move on to oral communications.
Yes, we have two to speak. I'm going to call Pedro Molina.
Good evening. Sorry. I'm going to read it off here because I don't want to miss anything. So, good evening, Mayor, Council members, city staff, and fellow residents of Rialto. My name is Pedro Molina. I'm here today not just as a property owner, but as a citizen who has endured over 3 years of sustained retaliation and financial hardship from the hands of the city code enforcement and inspectors. Specifically, Timothy Sun and his friend, Steve Jaramillo. I own the property across the street, which is 134 South Willow Avenue. I've been subject to patterns of harassment that has gone far beyond routine enforcement. It began with unauthorized entry to my property, the removal of my electric meter without notice, the misuse of my personal data. I documented these violations and submitted formal complaints, believing that transparency and accountability will prevail. But instead, I followed a campaign of retaliation. Just a week after filing my complaint in July of this year with City Manager Tanya, a week after I received a notice from the city attorney's office, this wasn't just a routine notice. It was a legal escalation that ignored my efforts to comply and painted me as a non-cooperative. Then the same notice was sent to my note holder, who is now threatening to call the note on my property. This letter was returned undelivered despite my correct address, so I requested a copy from Brandon from the city attorney's office. But the retaliation didn't stop there. Not even 30 days after that letter, on September 11th, Timothy's son ordered the gas company to disconnect my service from my property without warning, documentation, or legal justification. It only took a call, that's it. On the same day, his friend Stephen Jaramillo contacted the water company to shut off the main supply and disconnect me. Again, it only took a call. I spoke to Nancy Jackson from the water company. She said the only way they could verify that is by caller ID and notes on my account. That's all it took. These actions weren't just punitive. They were personal, causing further hardship and triggering additional permit requirements to my property. Let me be clear. I lost thousands of dollars in rental income due to these enforcement tactics. I had taken out private loans to cover just basic costs in repairs, utilities, legal fees, and my compliance efforts. These are debts I carry not because I failed to follow the law, but because the law has weaponized against me. This financial burden has affected my credit, my business, my family, and my peace of mind. I spent countless hours documenting, responding, pleading for fairness. I submitted complaints to the city manager and the Rialto Police Department, hoping someone would intervene. But my silence is just deafening. I'm not here to ask for any special treatment. I'm just here to ask for justice. I'm asking the council to investigate the conduct of Officer Timothy Sun and the Code Enforcement Division and even the Department of Inspectors. They've been there so long. I'm asking for transparency on how complaints are handled and accountability when enforcement crosses a line into retaliation. I'm asking for safeguards so that no other resident, no other taxpayer is forced to take out loans just to survive the city enforcement. This is not about one property. It's about the integrity of our city. It's whether Rialto stands for fairness or allows unchecked powers to punish those who speak up. I've done everything I can to comply. I documented every step. And now I'm asking for you to do your part. Thank you for your time and for listening to The Real Cost of Retaliation. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for your concern and your input, and hopefully that we can follow up and look up.
Mayor, I will say this is an ongoing legal enforcement item. It's inappropriate for us to be able to comment on it tonight, but we can certainly brief the council on the status.
Okay, I appreciate it very much. Thank you. Okay, any others?
Yes, we have Althea Payton.
Is there someone I can give this sheet to follow along? Maybe the mayor can look at it. Okay, my name is Adiola Payton, and I'm here because I have complained to the police department several times that the father of my kids is a child molester, and they never did a SART test. A SART test is a sexual assault rape test, and they never committed one. They never did one for my daughter, they never did one for my son. All they do is physicals. And physicals, I'm a nurse, so I know what physicals entails. It doesn't entail investigating the vagina or the anus. The physical just checks the lungs, heart rate, stomach, things like that. It doesn't check for sexual abuse. And when I complain to the police officers, they tell me there's a restraining order. So the paper that I gave her is one page of the restraining order. And when they look at that restraining order, they only look at number 9, where it says no contact order. And they come back to me and says, oh, it says no contact order, so you can't have contact with him, so we can't help. They don't look at the full thing. And if you look at 9B, it says there's exceptions to 9A, which is the no contact order. You may have brief and peaceful contact with the person in 1 to only communicate about your children for court-ordered visits. And that's the communication I tell them is lacking when I'm not getting my visitations. And then I also ask them to look at number 2, which says you may have contact with your children only during court-ordered contact or visits. And at that time, I was seeing them one time a week. And they wouldn't enforce the order because they would just look at the first part and say, it says no contact order. And that's how they'll base how they treat me. They wouldn't look at the whole thing. So my suggestion is when they have a restraining order, to look at the whole thing, not part of it. They can't just stop at one part and say, okay, it says no contact order, so that's all I'm going to read. They need to read the whole thing so I can get fair treatment. And also, I would like for you to investigate why they're not doing a SART test on my daughter or son. Thank you. Mayor, did you see the piece of paper that I was talking about?
No, I haven't seen it.
I will get it to the...
Excuse me?
They would get a copy of it. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you. Because 9A isn't the whole restraining order. It's the whole number 9, A, B, and C. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll get a copy of it and look at it and determine whose jurisdiction it is. Thank you. Any others under oral communication?
No.
Okay. Seeing that there's no other individuals that submitted in writing to have oral communications, we'll move on to the consent item. Any item in the consent may be pulled off by any member of the council. If not, do I hear a motion to approve the consent items?
So moved.
Motion's been made by Mayor Pro Tem Ed. It's Scott, seconded by Andy Caraceres. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? Hearing none, the consent items are approved. So at this time, we'll move on to tab 1.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, City Council, staff, and Rialto community. My name is Cindy Hernandez, and I am with Avant Garde, providing the city with support for their HUD-funded programs. Today, we will be presenting the Consolidated Annual Performance Evaluation Report, also known as the CAPER, for fiscal year 2024 through 2025. The Consolidated Annual Performance and Evaluation Report, or CAPER, is an assessment of the city's performance in meeting fiscal year 2024 through 2025 housing and community development goals. It is the U.S. Department's HUD requires that the city submit a CAPER annually. In accordance with HUD regulation and the city's citizen participation plan, the CAPER was made available for a 15-day public review and comment period beginning on September 8, 2025. For fiscal year 2024 through 2025, the City of Rialto received an allocation total for CDBG in $1,151,844. When deciding how to allocate its funding, the city must follow the funding caps as seen in the following table. 20% goes to CDBG administration, 15% goes to public services, and the remaining of the funding goes to non-public services activities. In fiscal year 2024 through 2025, the City of Rialto received their first ever allocation for home funding in a total of $374,469.26. The following table is also a depiction of the required funding caps as seen on this table. 10% to home administration, 15% goes to CHOTO set aside, which is known as the Community Housing Development Organization activities, and residential rehabilitation program. During the first program year, as a home participating jurisdiction, also known as a home PJ, the city focused its efforts on developing a robust residential rehab program by creating and establishing program guidelines, obtaining approval from HUD to establish Rialto's homeownership property value limits. Therefore, no expenditures were incurred for community housing development organization activities or residential rehabilitation activities. The following table outlines activities by goal type that were implemented during fiscal year 24-25. Though these activities were implemented during fiscal year 24-25, funding may have been confined from prior fiscal years. Program administration, which includes fair housing, expended a total of $230,368.80. Through the completion of Building 400, two curb gutter sidewalk projects from fiscal year 2023 and 2024, and the 2024 community garden, these community facilities and infrastructure improvement activities expended a total of $829,457.46 thus far. For public services, there were a total of six subrecipients who implemented activities and expended a total of $165,113.18. And lastly, the total has made a total repayment of $281,816.91 for the Section 108 loans for fiscal years 2023 and 2024. For fiscal year 2024 and 2025, the following accomplishments have been made. Fair Housing Services, administered by Inland Fair Housing and Mediation Board, was able to assist 383 people, although their goal was 96. A total of four community facilities and infrastructure improvement projects were completed, including Building 400 that utilized funds from fiscal years 2021, 2022, 2023, and 2024. A total of two curb gutter sidewalk projects were completed, and the community garden completed their shade structure. A total of five households were assisted via the mobile home repair program during fiscal year 24-25, utilizing funds from fiscal years 23 and 24. And the Section 108 loan repayments were completed for fiscal years 2023, 2024, and 2025. For public services, this is a table that will provide all of the residents that were served throughout their implementation of their designated activities. Again, Inland Fair Housing and Mediation Board assisted a total of 302 eligible participants, exceeding their goal with 252%. Legal Aid Society of San Bernardino had a goal of 100 participants, and they were able to serve a total of 503 participants, exceeding their goal by 272%. NCNW had a goal of 26, and they were able to serve 62. Rialto Family Health Services had a goal of 45 and assisted 51 Rialto residents. Stronger Together Now had a goal of 30, assisting 794. Sunrise Church of California had a goal of 150, assisting 578. And the Rialto Scene Center had 50 as their goal and completed a total of 122 participants. The city has received a CDBG CV allocation of $1,339,058.86 $584 in supplemental CDBG coronavirus funding to help prepare, prevent for, and respond to the COVID-19 pandemic. To date, the city has expended $899,000 of CDBG-CV funds, and the city presented its substantial amendment number 7 to council on July 22nd to approve the reprogramming of the remaining $440,000 to create an inclusive playground at Rialto City Park. Staff recommends to conduct a public hearing to solicit public comments from interested citizens regarding the fiscal year 2024-2025 CAPR, adopt a resolution approving the fiscal year 24-25 CAPR, authorize the city manager or their designee to sign all documents to submit the CAPR to U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and modify as required. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there anyone from the public that has signed up?
No, this is a public hearing. Yes, it's a public hearing.
Is there anyone from the public?
Move to close the public hearing.
Motion's been made to close the public hearing by Mayor Pro Tem Ed Scott, seconded by Edward Montoya. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Hearing none, motion carries. So the public hearing is closed. At this time, we'll open it up.
Could you stay up here, please?
Yes, sir.
Any members of the council? Mayor Pro Tem Ed Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a comment first, which is, it looks like staff has done a good job implementing most of this stuff, as have the groups that are in charge of some of the dollars for various social activities and services in the city. I do have one question and one comment, and that involves, under housing, the mobile home program. We seem every year to be lacking in efficiently handling that program. I believe that's done through your department, Ms. Taylor. And while you're new here, I think it's important that we do a better job with our mobile home program. We have a number of mobile home parks in this city, most of which senior citizens live in, and families that are probably could use money to fix up the mobile homes that they live in, and I just don't think we're doing a good program with that. If you look at it, 2023, we only spent half of the money, roughly $89,000 out of $180,000, and we've spent nothing for 2024, which leaves us probably a total of $229,000 that could be used for families, senior citizens, to fix up and repair, in a lot of cases, situations in mobile home parks that are unsafe. So I think we need to do a better outreach program, reaching those families, reaching those seniors, and letting them know that we do have money available to assist them. And if I recall, it can be a number of things, including water heaters, air conditioning systems, roofs, what those kinds of things that they probably desperately need to live in these mobile homes safely. So I would like to see us work on a program of outreach to the mobile home parks.
I just want to add to make sure that that we have it in a bilingual format, because I think that's part of the reason that it hasn't been used, is a lot of the people that live there may not understand the language of the flyer. So let's make sure that we have a bilingual format. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other concerns? But I think we all basically agree that any money that has not been used, that we should capitalize and make sure that we do utilize that money appropriately in some of the areas that have been designated. And I do appreciate the work that that the members on the on the community block grant were involved in reallocating some of those dollars for the all-inclusive playground that would be for kids with disability and autism. So that's a positive thing, but looking at some of the other areas, I think the Mayor Pro Tem is correct in looking at making sure that the unused money is spent where it's appropriate and needs to be done in some of the areas that need to be improved. Thank you. Any other?
Move approval of the fiscal year 2024-2025 CAPER.
Motion's been made by Mayor Pro Tem Scott, seconded by Carla Perez. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposition? Hearing none, motion carries. We'll move on to tab two.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to call up Mike Corona, the Deputy Director of Maintenance and Facilities, to provide you with a presentation.
Good evening, Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, and members of Council. Submitted for your approval was a request for City Council to adopt Resolution Number 8410, accepting the CAL FIRE grant in the amount of $789,500, intended to develop the City of Rialto's Urban Forest Management Plan, also known as the UFMP, and other additional scopes of work, including planting of 500 trees within the city's right-of-way and park system, community outreach, and hosting tree giveaways to the community. Number two is to authorize the First Amendment to increase the current professional service agreement with West Coast Arborist for the tree inventory and the development of the City of Rialto's UFMP in the amount of 100.
Move for approval.
Motion's been made to approve, seconded by, motion's been made by Edward Montoya, seconded by Andy Caraceres.
Mr. Mayor, any discussion? I have a comment.
Okay, a comment.
I would just hope that while we're going through and deciding what kind of trees get planted as part of this plan, that we pick trees that are attractive, drought tolerant, don't have huge root systems, and are not camphor trees.
Absolutely. We'll be mindful of type of trees in the placement.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposition? Hearing none, motion carries.
Thank you.
Move on to tab three.
Thank you, Mayor. The presentation this evening will be given by the city's Economic Development Manager, Paul Guerrero.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor Baca, Mayor Pro Tem Scott, and City Council members. The next three agenda items all pertain to the Surplus Land Act. Separate resolutions are required because each entity owns their respective parcel of land. The item before you is a request to declare certain city-owned properties outlined in white in the map exhibit as surplus land under the Surplus Land Act or Act, and to authorize staff to proceed with the required steps. Under the Act, public agencies must first declare a property as surplus before it can be sold or leased. Once declared, the city must release a Notice of Availability, or NOA, to eligible local agencies and affordable housing developers identified by the California Department of Housing and Community Development, or HCD. If City Council approves this item, staff will release the NOA. Eligible entities will have 60 days to express interest in the resolution's listed properties. If no interest is received, the city will report the outcome to HCD for review. Upon HCD approval, the city may proceed with the disposition process. If interest is expressed after the 60-day period ends, the city is required to engage in good faith negotiations for up to 90 days. In this process, either the city will reach an agreement with the proposer, or if no agreement is reached, the outcome is reported to HCD for final review. It's important to note that tonight's action does not authorize the sale of property. It's simply the first step in the process. Any proposed transactions will be brought back to City Council for separate consideration and approval. Staff recommends that City Council adopt Resolution Number 8411 and authorize the City Manager or designee to release the Notice of Availability and proceed with the process outlined under the Surplus Land Act. This concludes the staff report, and staff is available for any questions.
We have someone who wants to speak on tab three.
Okay.
Tatiana Reyes, Arribas.
Good afternoon. My name is Tatiana Reyes, and I will start by apologizing because probably I choose the wrong tab. But I'm here to speak regarding the Chamber of Rialto. I'm a volunteer there, and I meet with a lot of businesses. I met with this lady who have a business here in Rialto, in one in Fontana, and she made this comment a while ago. She told me Rialto is 100 years behind Fontana, and this has been with me for over 2 months. And I asked myself, why they're saying those stuff regarding Rialto and our businesses? And many businesses have been complaining that it takes them over a year to open in Rialto because approvals, or they ask for help in the city, and they just throw a whole bunch of paper and here, go over there and find out for yourself. So I would like you to consider to allocate some funding for the chamber so we can be that bridge between their the city and the businesses. So if any business having any consideration, opening, or any idea, they can come to us and we can be that connection so it could be easier for them to open Rialto. If they have any issue, we can help them together. This is a system that Fontana has with their chamber, and they have over 3,000 plus members in their chamber. Us, we only have like 1,000 and less. And what else? There is a video in TikTok regarding Rialto that also comment on the same thing, that Rialto is a place that is not too good, not too bad, just a place for you to survive until you figure out to move out, which I think is unfair. And I ask you guys to please, every time that you guys relocate funds or approve any warehouse or anything, to think about all this stuff so we can improve Rialto overall.
Thank you very much for your comments, although it does not pertain to this particular item right now, but yes. In behalf of the city, I think, and the Community Development Department, we try to do everything best that we can to accommodate individuals in obtaining the license that they need to do business in the city, and I think we have the attitude that we'd like to welcome businesses coming into the city of Rialto, regardless of the different ethnicities that would like to come into the area. Now, as far as the chamber goes, that's up to the chamber then to look at working with the city and looking at what the requirements are and then providing that information back to the public in terms of what steps, and that would help in expediting part of that process when they come into the city of Rialto and applying for a business license. So this way, whether it's done in English, Spanish, Germans, Swedish, Chinese, any other language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the issues that I see in the chamber is that everyone is a volunteer.
This isn't on our agenda.
No, it isn't. Yeah.
But we shouldn't have more discussions about this item.
I understand, but I'm letting her, and I'll overrule you on that. And you're just about done, right?
Yeah, I just want to add one little comment. That everyone in the chamber is a volunteer. No one gets paid. So for us, it's really difficult to be there and get all the knowledge that we need to help other businesses. So that's why I will think that the city needs to get involved with the chamber, so that way, or take over or something.
I think we're doing that, and a lot of us will probably be attending part of the mixer that will also be going on tomorrow too as well. So thank you very
much.
Thank you for
your
comments.
Sorry, guys.
All right. It's really the item that we have was tab 3, and it was about following the having approval for the first step in process, you know. Are there any other discussions? If not, do I have a motion?
I have some comments and questions.
Mayor Pro Tem Ed Scott.
Most of these properties are considered residential, correct?
That is correct, yes, sir.
Okay, and just a comment to that. I realize this is the first step in moving on that process, but it's long overdue. These properties have been sitting in the downtown area, most of them, for a long time. And in order for our downtown to grow in size and to flourish business-wise, we need more residential in the downtown area. So I look forward to us moving forward with this, approvals of the ability to sell these properties and sell them to developers who can develop them into residential properties and bring families into the downtown area and frankly bring money into the downtown area. So I would move approval of resolution 8411.
Second.
Okay, a motion's been made by Mayor Pro Tem Scott, seconded by Carla. I'd just like to add an additional comment to what the Mayor Pro Tem said, and hopefully that when we look at residentials and developing the area, that we're not looking at warehouses to be built in that area. All right? That's coming from me. With that, any other discussion? Not? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? Hearing none, motion carries. Move on to tab four.
Great. Tab four pertains to the successor agency. Again, same topic. Good evening, Honorable Mayor Baca, Mayor Pro Tem Scott, and City Council members. The item before you is a request to declare certain successor agency-owned properties outlined in red on the map exhibit as surplus land under the Surplus Land Act or Act, and authorize staff to proceed with the required steps. Under the Act, public agencies must first declare a property as surplus before it can be sold or leased. Once declared, the successor agency must release a notice of availability or NOA to eligible local agencies and affordable housing developers identified on the California Department of Housing and Community Development, or HCD. If the City Council approves this item, staff will release the NOA. Eligible entities will have 60 days to express interest in the resolutions listed properties. If no interest is received, the city will report the outcome to HCD for review. HCD approval. Upon HCD approval, the city may proceed with the disposition process. If interest is expressed, after the 60-day period ends, the city is required to engage in good faith negotiations for up to 90 days. In this process, either the city will reach an agreement with the proposer or no agreement is reached. The outcome is reported to HCD for final review. It's important again to note that tonight's action does not authorize the sale of any property. It's simply the first step in the process. Any proposed transactions, again, will be brought back to City Council for a separate consideration and approval. Staff recommends that the City Council, acting as the governing body of the successor agency to the redevelopment agency of the City of Rialto, to adopt successor agency resolution number 01-25 and authorize the executive director or designee to release the notice of availability and proceed with the process outlined under the Surplus Land Act. This concludes staff's report, and we're here available for any questions.
Move approval of SA resolution.
Excuse me, before you do, I had Edwin Montoya's late. I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Resolution 0125.
Motion's been made. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Seconded by Edward Montoya, and this is to declare a surplus property. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposition? Hearing none, motion carries.
Mayor, for tab five, in an effort to avoid reading the same staff report again, I'd like to note that the information is identical, except it relates to property owned by the Rialto Housing Authority. So council would be acting in that capacity pertaining to the Surplus Land Act for properties owned by the Housing Authority.
Carla?
Motion to adopt resolution number 03-25.
Motion been made by Carla Perez, seconded by...
Second.
I'll second it. Mm-hmm. Okay, second by myself. Any other discussion or any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
At this time, we'll move on to reports from members of the council. We'll start with Andy Caracetes.
No report this evening.
Mayor Pro Tem Ed Scott.
No report.
Councilwoman Carla Perez.
Nothing to report, Mayor. Thank you. Councilmember
Edwin Montoya.
Yeah, I just wanted to report that I attended the Rialto Police Promotion Ceremony. It was another great event put on by the Rialto PD. I just want to say congratulations to all the men and women who were promoted to captain, lieutenant, sergeant, and corporal. And we see the great job you're doing. Keep on going. Also, the Petapalooza that was held by put together by the city clerk's office. You guys did another great job. This is my third Petapalooza that I have attended. Myself, the mayor, and city manager were all in attendance. It was another great event for our four-legged mental health professionals. And so thank you all. Thank all the nonprofits who were there, all the businesses that made it successful, and especially Working Dogs for Warriors for their continued service to the community. And that is all. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I'd just like to give a short, brief report in reference to the promotion of police officers. I'd like to congratulate all of the officers that were promoted, and I'd like to thank all of the family members and others that attended the ceremony. It was quite an honor to be there, but I also like to mention that one of our other council members was present at that event, and that's Carla Perez, that also was in attendance. So the three of us were able to see a lot of the officers, and we congratulate them. And I think it's excellent, and I say excellent, for the city of Rialto that our police officers know that there's opportunities for upward mobility. And I think they saw this in the officers that were promoted all the way from corporals to lieutenants to captains. So it's a plus when people want to come to our police force knowing that there's opportunity for upward mobility. So I congratulate the chief of police, Mark Lane, in allowing that process to happen. And congratulations to all of the officers that were promoted. Also, I attended the Petapalooza event. It was well attended by a lot of the individuals from the community. I'd like to thank a lot of the vendors that also participated during that period of time. It was good. It was nice to see the dogs, as I mentioned it to one of our members earlier, the race that they had. Not all of them stood in the lanes that they were supposed to be, but they enjoyed it. And it was a great event that was put on by the city, and I want to congratulate Barbara McGee that organized it and conducted it and got a lot of the vendors that participated and a lot of the community members that came out. And that concludes my report. So at this time, I'd like to start with our city clerk, Barbara McGee.
I'd just like to echo that it was a partnership between the city clerk's office and the police department. So we've been in a partnership with doing the Petapalooza for the last 4 years, and we was able to give a lot of service to the residents of Rialto, and that was provided by the police department with the chip, with dogs getting microchips, some of the animals getting spayed and neutered, and some of the animals getting their rabies shots, and we was able to get residents their license for their dog. So, and then we definitely want to thank the San Bernardino Animal Control as well, because we was able to adopt several dogs, and several cats was adopted that day as well. So I just want to say it's a partnership. And next Saturday we have MAD, so hope that the community come out and support us in MAD. It will be next Saturday at Jerry Eve's. No, I'm sorry. It would be
Joe Sampson.
Help me out, Mayor Pro Tem Scott.
Sampson,
yes, it will be Park. At Joe Sampson Park, October the 4th. And so we are raising money for MAD. So residents from Rialto and surrounding communities, please come out and help with that cost. to raise money and to make sure that Rialto continue to be safe and support Mothers Against Drunk Driving. So that's all I have.
Thank you. I want to apologize. There was another individual from the diocese that was in attendance, and that was Edward Carrillo that was at the Petapalooza, and he had his dog too there as well. So thank you very much for being there, Edward. Next, I'd like to call on our city treasurer, Edward Carrillo.
Thank you. Nothing to report, Mayor.
Thank you. Next, I'd like to call on our city manager, Tanya Williams.
Thank you, Mayor. No report this evening.
Thank you. Next, I'd like to call on our city attorney, Eric Vail.
Thank you, Mayor. Just very quickly, my office will be providing you, the clerk, and the treasurer with an updated memo on the Levine Act. The Levine Act went into place a couple years ago. And for council members and local elected officials, it can trigger a conflict of interest based on a campaign contribution over a $500 threshold. Some of the rules are complex and a little confusing, but we'll get a memo out that's updated for 2025-2026 for you here in the beginning of October. And if you have any questions when it comes out, feel free to contact me about it.
Thank you very much. I think that's very important for all of the individuals, because I think there's a cap of $499, 500, well, you know, if you want to stay under the cap that's there under the new law that'll be needs to be implemented for any individual that's doing business with the city of Rialto that may be getting contributions. Okay, next I'd like to call on our chief of police, Mark Klein.
Good evening, Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem and Council. I'll keep my comments kind of brief, but we've talked about Petapalooza a lot today, but I also want the council to know that how the Pride Platoon, that you've got presentation with that, how that works. So we have nearly 40 individuals that actually participated in community service by helping clean up the after the event and help all the other city departments. I think it's really good for character building for these young folks in our community to actually see how not only the process works as far as the city putting on these types of events, but also contributing with the, you know, their assistance in helping through community service and cleaning. So in the future, the same folks are actually going to be going to a visit at West Valley Detention Center, and then that will also be followed up by an educational component at Cal State San Bernardino. So that's in just the weeks ahead, and that doesn't necessarily conclude the entire program. There's more, and I'll keep you informed on that as it happens. Mayor, I really appreciate your comments and the rest of the council's support, and I kind of want you to see exactly what you're allowing the police department to do. And I think you all hit it on the head when you're talking about the upward mobility of this police department. And by providing the ability to have another captain and another division, because we're getting that big, the goal is for you to never have to go outside this police department ever in the future to bring in a police chief. Because you've got the talent that is being developed at the other three levels. And
I think all the captains are hearing this.
Yeah, they better be listening. So I do want to let you know that Captain Nelson is the operations division commander. I want you also to know that Captain Lamont Corker is the support services, and our newly developed special operations division is headed by Captain Adams. And I'll be briefing you about that going forward in the future, but you can kind of start seeing how the department's starting to look and formulate for the future, and it's pretty exciting times. Lastly, it's always kind of bothered me about the name of our Community Services Bureau, and primarily because there's some confusion between recreation and community services and parks and the Community Services Bureau for the PD, and we've seen some of that confusion. So we've renamed that and rebranded it as part of the future going forward. It's now called the Community Engagement Bureau, because that's exactly what they do, is engage. So that whole unit is now housed under Captain Adams. So that's my brief comments tonight. And again, thank you for your continued support. And as we further develop this police department to being that agency in this region, we're well on our way. So thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Next, I'd like to call on our acting fire chief, Jensen.
Thank you, Mayor and Mayor Pro Tem, council members. I wanted just to get ahead of the next couple of weeks, because Fire Prevention Week occurs prior to our next meeting, October 5th through the 11th. The National Fire Protection Association Fire Prevention Week centers on a timely theme: charge into fire safety, lithium ion batteries in your home. Lithium ion batteries powering everything from smartphones to e-scooters. The risk of improper charging and disposal are rising. Nationally, over 200 residential fires occur each year that are linked to these batteries, and California has seen a sharp uptick in incidents involving e-bike and power tool battery charging. We're doing several outreach programs during that particular week out in our community, and how to recycle and partner with some of our vendors that we have out here in the city. Also in October, and timely with Mayor Pro Tem's comments earlier, in October we're starting a new community risk reduction campaign focusing on elderly and families in our modular and mobile home parks called Rialto Ready Mondays. We'll be providing smoke detectors, fall prevention, fire access to homes, and maintaining exit ways, including windows, medication magnets, and electrical safety. This program's meant to educate seniors and families on the risk of fire and ensuring their safety in an all-risk environment. Lastly, I just want to say that we've had several single resources and personnel on Cal OES apparatus that is provided to the city, assisting in the Northern and Central California area over the last month, providing leadership and firefighting resources to communities that were threatened by the recent wildfires. I'm glad to report tonight that all of our crews are home safely, and we have been recognized for their efforts during the recent wildfire siege. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, I'd like to call on our Assistant City Manager, Tim Sullivan, and Director of Maintenance and Facility.
Thank you, Mayor. Two quick announcements for the public. One is starting tomorrow night, southbound Riverside Avenue at Santa Ana Avenue. Will be some road construction going on that's related to a new development. So we'll have intermittent closures down there, but all business access will be open. So there's information on our social media outlets as well as the My Rialto app. And then also kind of to echo Chief Jensen's comments about wildfire safety and prevention, I wanted to announce that Southern California Edison will have a public meeting for San Bernardino and Riverside residents. That's on October 2nd at 6 p.m. Information for this as well can be found on all our social media and also our My Rialto app. So thank you.
Thank you. Next, I'd like to call on Director of Community Development, Christina Taylor.
Thank you, Mayor. Nothing to report this evening.
Thank you. Next, I'd like to call on our Director of Parks and Recreation, Cynthia Alvarado.
Good evening, Mayor Pro Tem, and members of the council. Here's what's going on in Rialto. This Saturday, September 27th at Jerry Eves Park from 5:30 to 9:30 will be our fourth annual Viva La Fiesta. Tiny Tots October session will start on Wednesday, October 1st at Hugh Banks Elementary. Our Teen Center Socktober donation drive will begin October 1st. People will be able to donate socks, blankets at any of our city facilities. We'll have boxes out to collect those donations all month long. Move with MAD will be Saturday, October 4th at Joe Sampson Park. It will start at 7 a.m. And then our Save the Dates, our Floating Pumpkin Patch will be Saturday, October 18th at Tom Sawyer Pool from 2 to 6 p.m. Our Senior Halloween Dance will be Thursday, October 30th at Grace Vargas Senior Center from 3 to 6 p.m. And our Halloween Hijinks will be Friday, October 31st here at the Civic Center from 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. And that concludes my announcements.
Next, our Director of Finance, Scott William.
Thank you, Mayor. No update.
Thanks. Next, our Director of Human Services, Shima.
Thank you, Mayor. Nothing to report.
Thank you. That concludes the reports from everyone. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion's been made by Carla Perez, seconded by Edward Montoya. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? Hearing none, motion carries. Council's adjourned.